Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
It's the dictionary. 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 It's the dictionary.
Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary, hosted by me, Spencer. Yay!
Wow, this sounds so similar to some cartoon I heard recently, and I can't think of what it is. This is episode F-175, and we now must talk about the words no, chit-chat, yimmer-yammer, banter, bunter. We gotta talk about the words. The first word is the third form of the word forehand. Adverb from 1925. Might as well have just put this in the previous episode, but oh well, it's just one line. It's with a forehand stroke. They hit that ball forehand when they were playing rackets. I like to play with my rackets. I got two rackets. I only play forehand. Boop, boop. Okay, my sound effect is going to be a little bit weird, but just like the rest of them, no sense in changing it up now and not doing things weird. It will make more sense later. My sound effect will be, thank you very much. Now, we have four-handed. This is an adjective from 1650, number 1A, mindful of the future, and the synonym is prudent. That word reminds me of back in the day in the 90s, late 80s, 90s, Saturday Night Live. Dana Carvey would act, pretend to be George Bush Sr. And I used to imitate him imitating George Bush. And oh, it was it? I think that's what it was. Maybe it was Perot. Was it Perot that he was doing? Not gonna do it. Wouldn't be prudent. Oh, I said that line so many times as a child. Okay, so mindful of the future. Mindful of the future. Oh, you are... It's very good to be mindful of the future, thinking about what the consequences are. Being mindful in general. How is this four-handed? Four-handed. I'm trying to think of, is there some forehand, all these forehand things were all about the front of the horse, the superior position, the hitting with the racket. Mindful of the future, prudent, is forehanded because you are thinking about, you're using your foretelling, foreseeing skills to think about the future with your hands. All right. Number 1B, the synonym is well-to-do. Well-to-do with hyphens. So, I don't know. I guess I think about that as just having money? Being well-to-do? Number 2, this synonym is the number 2 definition for the word forehand, which would have been at the end of the previous episode, because that was the adjective, and that was made with the palm of the hand turned in the direction in which the hand is moving, as in a four-handed stroke. Forehand stroke, four-handed stroke. Okay, you could say either way. Four-handedly is an adverb, and four-handedness is a noun. Four-handedness, you have four-handedness when you are mindful of the future and you're being prudent and you're well-to-do? Or do you have four-handedness when you hit the rackets with your forehand. Thank you very much. Now we have forehead. This is a noun from before the 12th century. You can say forehead. You can say forehead. Or you can say forehead and really emphasize that H. Forehead. I like to say head. Move. Forehead. Forehead. I guess, yeah. You're sort of losing the H there a little bit, but that's okay. So, forehead. Guess I never really thought about... I'm staring at my five head right now. Guess I never really thought about forehead. It's the front part of your head. It's before the rest of your head. And so, forehead number one. The part of the face above the eyes. Because it's up here... but it's over here, it's up in the top, but it's in the front. So yes, it's this section right here, probably without the hair. If you lose your hair, does this top part become your forehead also? Or is that just your scalp? Number two, the front or forepart of something, as in flames in the forehead of the morning sky. And that is a quote from John Milton. John Milton, what an interesting use of the word forehead. Were you the one who invented this use? Was it already being used in this way to mean the front or forepart of something? Flames in the forehead of the morning sky. Wow, that is a silly phrase. A silly, silly phrase. So what's the front part, the forepart of the morning sky? Is that by the horizon? Is it which direction are we? Is it just whatever way you're looking? The forehead. I have to shout out. They Might Be Giants. They have a song. In fact, I think we probably mentioned it when Josh Pilch was on the Flood episode. We want prosthetic foreheads on our heads. That's all I'll say. Prosthetic foreheads instead of foreheads. Just like a Klingon forehead, maybe. Ooh, do they have the best foreheads? I mean, compared to I can't remember their name, but the similar group of people on the show The Orville, which I don't think I ever finished watching, but they also have fantastic foreheads. It's really just their whole head. Forehead. I have recently. Started saying that I have a five head because, you know, sometimes people use it behind other people's back to say that they have a very large forehead, and I have realized that I have quite a large forehead, maybe not as big as some people, but bigger than average, I think. And so, I have to embrace that. It's just a lot of space. I could put ads up there, maybe. You wanna advertise your business? It'll cost you. It'll cost you a pretty penny. I'm not going to tattoo it. No, that's very silly. But maybe temporary something. Advertise on Spencer's forehead. Thank you very much. Now we have forehoof. Yeah, H-O-O-F, forehoof. Noun from 1726. This is the hoof of a forefoot. That's pretty clear. And now we get into, thank you very much, foreign. F-O-R-E-I-G-N. We've got a number of foreign words. This is an adjective from the 13th century. This word has a number of definitions, so we're going to talk about them. Not in a foreign voice, because that would be disrespectful. But my sound effect is not disrespectful. No. Okay, number one, for foreign. Situated outside a place or country, especially situated outside one's own country. So what country are you in right now? That is your own country, or maybe not the one that you're in right now because maybe you're traveling, but whatever country you live in is your own country. We're just going to say that that's true, even though you might... it's complicated. But... we're going to say that's your own country. And so anybody else, anything else that's not a part of that country is foreign. That's just what the word means. And sorry, I got some eye itches and face itches, and that's just going to happen. So, number two. Born in, belonging to, or characteristic of some place or country.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Other than the one under consideration, what country are we talking about? It's the Czech Republic. Anything else other than the Czech Republic is foreign in this specific context. Number three, of relating to or proceeding from some other person or material thing than the one under consideration. So we're not talking about countries here. We're just talking about stuff. Is it different than the thing that we're considering? Then it's foreign. I am so curious to see what the etymology is going to be. Because I don't think I ever thought about, where does this word foreign come from? Number four. Alien in character, and also not connected or pertinent. There's a wide ranges, I guess, of how to use this. Alien is, you know, one of those words that we use to describe people who are from another country, who are foreign to us. So that word, I'm sure, came before we started using alien for creatures out in the space outside of our Earth. I guess it's accurate. So which is there? I don't really know where I'm going with this. I just don't want it to be disrespectful. I don't want anything that we say to be disrespectful. We call them aliens for some reason, because whatever the etymology of that word is. Number five, related to or dealing with other nations, like foreign relations, dealing with other nations. Number 6A, occurring in an abnormal situation in the living body and often introduced from outside, as in a foreign body lodged in the esophagus. That thing, that foreign body, is not part of the body. So it is foreign to the body. And how did it get in your esophagus? Why? What were you doing? Why did you stick that thing in your mouth? That was not very smart. It got stuck. You now got to go to the emergency room. I did once have a foreign body lodged in my esophagus. Luckily, I was too young to fully remember it, but I had a piece of chicken stuck in my throat, and my dad had to take the chicken out of my throat before I died. Now we got 6B, not recognized by the immune system as part of the self, as in foreign proteins. So yep, same idea. It's just, where did these proteins come from? I didn't make those proteins. Somehow these foreign proteins got in my body. Did they go through the proper legal channels to get here? Have they said I'm using asylum to be in your body? Did you go visit the Statue of Liberty? Did you go through Estes? What's it? What's that island? Shucks. Oh boy, what is it called? The island. It's not Estes. It's, oh geez, why can't I think of it? Ellis. There it is. Oh boy. I am getting stupider. All right, now we got number 7, not being within the jurisdiction of a political unit, and that political unit might be a state. It's not within the jurisdiction. Ah, we can't deal with that because it's not part of our jurisdiction. It's foreign to us. A synonym is the word extrinsic, ex meaning out. Foreignness is a noun. So, this word is from the Middle English foreign with no G, from the Latin foranus, which means on the outside, which is from the Latin forus, which means outside, and there's more at the word forum, and so it's that it's outside. That's literally what it's all about. Outside, being on the outside, from the outside. All right, that is good to know. I guess I thought it would have been more detailed, more complicated, more interesting than that, but no, it's just the outside. All right, next. Oh, thank you very much. We have foreign affairs, and of course, my sound effect is an impersonation of Andy Kaufman doing his character Foreign Man, which I looked him up just to make sure I had the name right. When you look up Foreign Man from Andy Kaufman on the Google, it says that he is a video game character, and this is very confusing to me. Specifically, the character's name became Latka Gravas, fictional character on the TV show Taxi. Before that, he would do this Foreign Man character during his stand-up. But why does Google think that he's a video game character? What is this? That I don't understand. I'm not going to look into that, but if you know anything, if you want to look into that, you can let me know. And that is very... Well, like, did he get put as a playable character in some video game? Super Smash Brothers with Foreign Man? I mean, yes, obviously, I would like to now see Foreign Man fighting the four-armed guy in Mortal Kombat. Or driving a Mario Kart. Anyway... Foreign affairs is next, noun from 1611. Matters having to do with international relations and with the interests of the home country in foreign countries. What is the interest to our country over in your country? What will you do for us? What are our foreign affairs? Let's talk together. Let's have some affairs. And they're foreign affairs because we're in different countries. I think we should just get rid of all the borders altogether. No, nothing is foreign anymore. Thank you very much. Now we have foreign aid. Oh, foreign aid. Two words. Noun from 1947. 1947. Interesting time frame for that. Assistance provided by one nation to another. If you can help, maybe you should help. If you have the means, especially the money, or the people, maybe you can help some other people. An example of this assistance would be economic aid. And, of course, I have to say that this silly, silly Doge thing, Department of Government, what's that last word, efficiency, they have, like, gotten rid of a whole bunch of jobs and departments, including USAID, which I assume can just be called USAID. And one of the big things that this group did was to provide foreign aid to other countries, like HIV help in Africa. And now people are getting worse. Their HIV symptoms are getting worse. So, like, can we just bring this back and so we can help other people live? Like, literally, this is a life and death situation. Okay? Okay, great. Thank you very much. Now we have foreign bill. Noun from 1682. This is a bill of exchange that is drawn in one jurisdiction, like a country or a state, and it is payable within another. So I guess I would have thought that this is like a bill that you put into the, like the Senate to say, hey, I've got a bill. I'm just a bill. I wanna get signed. But no, this is a bill of exchange. So it's like related to money in some way. And you can say, take it over to a foreign country, be like, hey, I got this bill of exchange. I got this foreign bill. Can you pay it? But yeah, I can pay it. Thank you very much. Now we have foreign born, two words with a hyphen. This is an adjective from 1692. Foreign by birth. Your birth says that you're foreign. You were born in another country than the one that is your country now, that you live in now, and so you are foreign born. Many people are foreign born. They have decided for one reason or another to go somewhere else, to live somewhere else. Refugees. Maybe I got a better life over here. Maybe I'm sick of the country I was at. Maybe I was afraid for my life. I'm going to go to another country. I am foreign born. I was born in a foreign country. I was not. I am lucky that I have never been forced out or felt like I needed to leave. Although sometimes I'm like, should we just all leave this ridiculous situation? No, we must stay and fight. So yes, I am not foreign born. My people, I have multiple generations who are not foreign born. But then you get to a certain point, like, yep, they were born in another country. They were born foreignly. Is that a word? Thank you very much. Next, we have foreign correspondent, noun from 1801. A correspondent employed to send news or comment from a foreign country. I listen to a couple of news podcasts in the morning. Don't worry about it. It's not that big of a deal. Okay, it's pretty cool. And they often have people call in their correspondents. They're calling in. They're Zooming in, Skyping in. How are they getting connected? I don't know. They're calling in the phone lines from another country. And they're like, hey, this is what's going on over here in this other country. I speak the language. I talk to people. I live here. I see what's going on. This shit's fucked up over here. I wish one of them would just say that. Foreign correspondent. 1801. Yeah, I mean, people obviously were traveling around the world at that time. Okay, can you imagine, though? It's like, I'm going to go live in another country for a while in the 1800s. I'm going to go be a correspondent. But how do I get the information back to the people I'm talking to? Were they sending letters? They couldn't. They weren't sending owls. Maybe owls, pigeons. Maybe they could send that. Is that faster? But then otherwise you got to send a letter onto a boat. Maybe you put it in a bottle and just like, I hope they get my information. I don't know. Thank you very much. Next is foreigner. Noun from the 15th century. Number one. A person belonging to or owing allegiance to a foreign country. Number two is chiefly dialect. It is one not native to a place or community. And the synonym is the 1C definition for the word stranger. You don't, you're not from these parts, are you? You don't look familiar. I know everybody around here, and you don't look familiar. Are you a foreigner? I will mention a movie that I will, I guess, talk about more at the end of this episode. Just last night, we watched Will and Harper, the documentary, and they go to a number of places around the country, and they're definitely foreigners. They are different from some of the places that they go visit, and so I guess you could call them foreigners. We don't like these people around these parts. No, let's flip it. Let's say we love people from other places because it makes things more interesting. It shows us another point of view, another part of the world that we can learn from and love and accept. Okay, great. Thank you very much. Next is foreign exchange. Noun from 1691. Number one. A process of settling accounts or debts between persons residing in different countries. I was not expecting this, but it is literally about exchanging stuff, accounts, settling accounts or debts. We are sending money one way or the other in foreign countries. Number two, foreign currency or current short-term credit instruments payable in such currency. Again, it's dealing with money. It's literally the exchange of monies, changing when you go to the airport or someplace in another country. You're like, I need to exchange my foreign currency for your own currency, please and thank you, because you won't take my money. Understandably, you don't like it. It's not good. But also foreign exchange, you know, this is the program where you can send people, usually kids, from one school, one country to another, and they get to be there for like a month, a whole school year, whatever it is, and they get to learn about it and learn the language and the culture and meet new people, and it's great. I never did this. I guess we probably had some foreign exchange students at my school. I don't remember anybody specifically, but I never took advantage of this. I think it probably would have been good, but that was not my personality. Nope, that would have been really scary to me. Okay. Anything else about that? I don't think so. Thank you very much. Now we have foreignism. Noun from 1855. Something peculiar to a foreign language or people. Specifically, a foreign idiom or custom. Let's look up. Idioms are very funny things. Let's see. Let's look up an American idiom. Let's start there. Here, under the weather. It means you are feeling unwell or sick. Under the weather. Ooh, like, because if you take it literally, if you take the idiom literally, then it's like, what even is that? Here's another one. Break a leg. You're wishing somebody good luck, especially in the theater. But somebody from a foreign country might not understand that because they didn't grow up in that country, in that world, not in that world, in that vicinity, that culture. And so they're like, break a leg. It's very easy to take something literally when you don't know the language or the culture very well. So now let's look up a Spanish idiom. Let's do this. Okay, so, let's see, can Spencer figure this out? Ser pan comido, it means very easy or a walk in the park. So, I guess I should have picked one that I knew the translation to. Oh, look, you select it and there's a translate button that pops up. Pan, it's something about eating bread, yeah. Be a piece of cake, give or take. You know, the translation might not be perfect. But piece of cake, that's actually very similar to an English one. Let's find another one. Here, let's try this. So this one means to spend a lot of money or to throw the house out of the window. The phrase is tirar la casa por la ventana. Yes. They are literally, it's to throw the house out of the window. I think that's what it means. Yep. So, throwing the house out of the window. Are you throwing the house out of the window of the house? It's like you've got to squish it down and push it through the window. How is that? But it's basically spending a lot of money. Okay, so that was just a nice little tangent of foreign idioms, foreignisms. Those are foreignisms because it's something that they say in another country, and you're like, I don't get it. Teach it to me. Thank you very much. Next is foreign minister. Noun from 1678. A governmental minister for foreign affairs. That's it. Thank you very much. Foreign office. Noun from 1820, a government office as a ministry that deals with foreign affairs. And I bet you that the foreign minister works there in the ministry. Thank you very much. Foreign policy. Noun from 1804. The policy of a sovereign state in its interaction with other sovereign states. Like, just how you want to deal with them. What are your policies? Our policies are to welcome them if they want to come over, and for everybody to act nicely to each other. That's a good policy. Thank you very much. Foreign service. Noun from 1870. The field force of a foreign office comprising diplomatic and consular personnel. Yeah, I don't really have a whole lot to say about these. It's just, hey, that's what it is. Oh, we're done with the foreign words. Let's move on to thank you very much. For judge. First form, transitive verb from the 15th century. This is to expel, oust, or put out by judgment of a court. We are for judging you. Okay, let's look at the etymology. Let's see if there is anything interesting. I mean, it seems pretty obvious. But yes, again, it is from the fours. I guess this would be Anglo-French fours, which means outside. So it's not the first judge, front judge, before judge. It's the outside judge. Because they are to expel, oust, or put out by judgment of a court. So the judging says that you gotta go. That's why you are being forejudged. This is an interesting way to use these words. For means outside here. And so when you are being judged in this outside way, you are being sent out, expelled. Was Napoleon was forejudged? Interesting. Okay, but now here, thank you very much. We have forejudge again, second form, transitive verb from 1561. The synonym, this is more what I was thinking of, prejudge. Like, I'm going to judge you before I should, before I can, before you deserve to be judged. I'm going to prejudge you. Oh, this is what people do when they just look at you. Before they get to know you, they see what you look like, what your hair like, what your clothes like, what you're wearing. That's the same as your clothes. You got piercings, you got tattoos, you got makeup. Any of these things, they're going to look at you and they're going to forejudge you. But they shouldn't, because, like, here's the thing. To a certain degree, you can, especially if you're, like, if you're doing something that's not quote-unquote normal, it's like, oh, okay, I get a bit of an idea of who you are when I forejudge you. But the thing is, once you get to know somebody, you talk to them, and you don't assume that your forejudging is 100% correct, you get to know them, and you get to learn so much more about them. And maybe you forejudge that they were different from you, but then you're like, wait, you're actually not that different from me. Interesting. That makes me have some things to think about. There's always more. There's always more than meets the eye when you're dealing with transformers. Thank you very much. Now we have foreknow. Foreknow. It's like, oh, I know this beforehand. I foreknew that I was going to hit the microphone when I lifted up my left hand, because it's right here by the mic. Okay, foreknow. This is a transitive verb from the 14th century. To have previous knowledge of, also, know beforehand, especially by paranormal means or by revelation. Ooh, paranormal means. Those are means that are not normal. They're abnormal, paranormal. Oh, I would love to have some foreknow knowledge of stuff. Sometimes, not all the time. A synonym is foresee, which we saw in a... Well, actually, we must have seen... Where would we have seen that? Didn't we see foresee at some point? Or we saw something similar. We saw forecast, of course. That's similar. We saw forebode. That's similar. There was something else, though. Forefeel. Maybe it was forefeel. Yes, and then foresee will be later. Okay. Now, oh, and foreknowledge is a noun. Yep. All right. Now, we got to pick a word of the episode. Now I got to get into the mind space, the vocal space. Thank you very much. I shall now pick a word of the episode. Thank you very much. We had forehand, forehanded, forehead, forehoof, foreign, foreign affairs, foreign aid, foreign bill, foreign born. Oh, this is probably terrible that I'm doing this, but hey, we're just going to keep on going. Foreign correspondent, foreigner, foreign exchange, foreignism, foreign minister, foreign office, foreign policy, foreign service, for judge, and for no, and foreign man. Thank you very much. Okay, I am going to pick... Yeah, I'm going to pick forehead as the word of the episode. Look at my forehead, it's really a forehead, but actually it's a five head. Don't call it anything else, it's forehead, 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 forehead. I have a scar, I have a couple of scars on my forehead. I ran into a doorway when I was like 3 or 4 years old, and I got 3 stitches, and you can see that line right there if I point at it. Yep, it's a tiny little line, and then right next to it, there's a dot, and I think that's a chicken pox scar. And those are my forehead scars. I have other scars, but not on my forehead. Is that the dot there? I think that's the dot right there. Forehead. Watch out for your forehead. Be careful of your forehead. Protect your forehead. Wear a helmet. That's it. Now I'm going to tell you about a movie, which I already did, which is Will and Harper. We watched this last night. It is Will Ferrell and his friend Harper, who transitioned from a man to a woman during the pandemic, I think. And they had been friends working at Saturday Night Live for a very long time. And so this was a big change. Obviously, it was a big change for Harper and a big change for their family and friends. And it was them doing a road trip from New York to California, I think, and stopping at different places. As Harper, the first time that Harper has been to these places. And Harper used to or loves to road trip around the country. And so doing this before they were a woman was a big thing, and they felt comfortable. And then they were like, well, maybe I'm going to go do this now as this new person, the person who I truly am, and see how people react to me. And so, you know, it's mostly funny because they're both very funny people. There's a lot of silly stuff going on, but also it does get serious at times. And it's a beautiful film and funny, and you know, it's worth a watch, and you should watch it. Will and Harper traveling the country. They don't go to any foreign places. They just stay in this country. All right, that is going to be the end of the episode. Thank you very much for checking this out. And until next time, this is Spencer and Latka dispensing information. Goodbye. Thank you very much.